Hand over then to John to give us his talk, Does It Matter Which Church We Attend?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And thank you for coming along to our Bible talk. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. It seems slightly strange to me that there are so many different Christian groups or churches in existence today, not only in this country, but probably in the world at large. And perhaps something that's even more strange, or more significant, is the fact that they all tend to differ the one from the other in their religious beliefs. And so that being the question, we're going to ask today, does it matter which church we attend? Well, as it's Christian groups, the only way we can possibly answer that question is to turn to this book, the Bible. And we'll be quoting this morning from the Bible. I'll be using the AV version, but I'm going to give out the numbers of the, if any of people have got the NIV at the back, the blue one. I've got page numbers for the scriptures, and I'll let you know those as we go through them. The Bible is God's word. It was written over a period of between 1500 and 1600 years. It contains 66 books, 27 of those, interestingly enough, are in the New Testament. And there were 40 different writers, and those writers ranged from kings at the top right the way down to tax collectors, tent makers at the bottom. But they all have one thing in common. There is one author, and that author is the Lord God himself. So the Bible, quite clearly, we feel, is the only true source of information concerning God's plan and purpose. And God does have a plan and purpose. And that plan and purpose is the whole reason that we're giving our talk this morning. Because it concerns this earth upon which we live and us as individuals. So God clearly quite has a plan and purpose. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to a young man called Timothy, and it's in the second letter of Timothy in the third chapter. And in that NIV version, it's page 1197. We're going to read from verse 14. Paul writes there to Timothy, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now Paul's just saying to Timothy, look, you know, from a very young age you have known the scriptures, and these scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, to make you understand what you must do to obtain salvation, and that salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. He doesn't say, well, we'll pick this piece and we'll pick that piece and we'll decide on reading that and we won't read that. No, Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the whole of the scripture is able to make Timothy wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect or complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. Well, the Bible, as it says, is God's message to mankind. And from it, we can gain valuable instruction of what we must do to obtain salvation. Put simply, it reveals God's truth. So in the context of our talk this morning, does it matter which church we attend? Why is it important to discern what is truth? Well, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ said that only a very few will be able to find it. If you turn back to Matthew's Gospel record in the 7th chapter, that again is page 971. Jesus speaks there, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." So Jesus is basically saying to us, there's two ways. There's two ways. You can choose two ways. One way is a very narrow way. It's a straight and narrow gate. And only a few are going to find that. But the other way is a broad way, a wide gate, and that will lead you to destruction. And unfortunately, most of the world is heading straight for destruction, if they're not following the teachings and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there's a parallel record in Luke's Gospel record. I'd just like to turn to it because there's a couple of words there which may really embellish what we're saying. It's in Luke chapter 13, and that's page 1047. But sorry, I should have said to you, keep your fingers in Matthew 7 because we're going to come straight back to it. But it's Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. And it's Jesus' words again. And here he said, it's the same account really, he says, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Strive. What he's saying is, make a real effort. Make a real effort to follow that straight and narrow way, to enter into that straight gate. Because many, says Jesus, I say unto you, will seek. Well, that's some effort, isn't it? But it's not striving. It's not making a real effort to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So, back in Matthew 7, which is again page 971, having spoken these words in his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ continued with a warning regarding false prophets, or basically false teachers. And he carried on in that 7th chapter in verse 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Jesus, as the scripture shows, knew what would happen in the future. He knew that there would be those that would teach lies and deceit. And remarkably, this even concerns an understanding of himself. Because there are some churches which teach that Jesus is God the Son. He's a third part of a so-called Trinity. But it's not mentioned. In fact, that idea is not mentioned in the Bible, in the scriptures. It's not mentioned, the word Trinity is not mentioned in the scriptures, or the phrase God the Son. What in fact is said about Jesus is that he is God's only begotten Son, as we've already stated, and he is referred to as the Son of God or the Son of Man. Now, Jesus' words of warning were also echoed by the Apostle Paul in the first century, and this was actually after the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul alerted those members of the church at Ephesus, and it's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles in the 20th chapter, and that will be page 1117. So it's Acts chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 27, page 1117. Now, Paul is leaving Ephesus, and he's called together the leaders of the church. And he said to them, in verse 27, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He says to these leaders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, all the members of your church, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, to keep them instructed in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what he's telling them, which he hath purchased in his own blood. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." That's an interesting terminology, isn't it? It's virtually the same words that the Lord Jesus Christ is recorded of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7 verse 15, which we just read. Jesus said there, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And Paul goes on to say that he knows that after he has left this church, after he has departed, grievous wolves, those who teach falsehood, would enter in among them, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that for a space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears." So Paul was warning them all the time that this would happen. He knew what was going to happen in the future, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did, and he gave his warning in Matthew's gospel record. Paul's saying to them, don't deviate from that straight and narrow way. Well, Paul, like Jesus, was concerned that the purity of the gospel message would soon be corrupted by ungodly men. And these ungodly men would pervert the inspired teachings. In fact, Paul also wrote to Timothy again, warning him of this situation. This time it's in the first letter of Timothy, and that is page 1192. And it's at the beginning of chapter 4. In fact, it's only a couple of verses that we want to read. Paul writes there in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and devils of doctrine, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." I don't know if you agree with me, but they're extremely strong words. Lies in hypocrisy. In fact, again, interestingly enough, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ said regarding the religious leaders of his day when Jesus was preaching, the scribes and the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites because they weren't teaching the people the right ways. They were speaking lies to the people. They weren't speaking the right ways of God. But again, Jesus and Paul were not alone in foretelling the infiltration of these false doctrines. The Apostle Peter, again, also picks up on this, this time in his second letter and second chapter. And this is page 1223. Peter's second letter, second chapter, and reading from verse 1. Peter says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." Now, we've already looked up a number of scriptures, and the reason for that is we don't want to stand here this morning and give you our own thoughts on it. We want you to actually read the words yourself, read the words from the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. Well, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and they're the verses that Tim read for us at the outset, even at that early stage, Paul was trying to combat those who taught falsehood. Because he said at that early stage of the life of the Christian church, there were those who actually doubted the resurrection itself. And again, it's slightly remarkable because the hope of the true Christian is in resurrection. We here today, in 50 years, could all be dead. But God's plan and purpose is sure with the earth and with us. But we can share in that future on the earth. We can gain everlasting life. And there are many that have gone before us whose hope is centred in being raised from the dead to eternal life. And here, in the first century, there were those who were trying to pervert that teaching. Again, it's back in... we'll just look very briefly because... Tim's already read those verses to us. It's page 1155 and it's 1 Corinthians 15. And just looking at verse 12 there, reading from verse 12. And the whole argument here was the fact, verse 12, "If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you there is no resurrection of the dead?" So some of them were saying, well, the resurrection, there is no resurrection. And Paul said, well, if there's no resurrection, Christ isn't raised. Our preaching is a complete waste of time because we're teaching falsehood. We're hypocrites. Your faith is vain. We are false witnesses of God, he says, verse 15, if the dead rise not. And if Christ is not raised, our faith is vain. We are still in our sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They have no hope. But he says, this teaching is false. These people are liars. Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those to rise from the dead. And he says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And they will all be made alive at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 23. Every man in his own order, it says, Christ the first fruits or the first to rise, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So as we said, these people were deceivers, misleading the followers of Jesus. And unfortunately, there are others like them still in existence today. And again, it's the whole point of our talk this morning. Does it matter which church we attend? Well, if they're not speaking the truth, but speaking lies, yes. Yes, it does matter. If we believe and practice lies, we will be like those that Jesus spoke about, who seek to enter in at the wide gate and the broad way, which will lead to destruction. In fact, if you go back into Matthew chapter 7, again, it's page 972. Jesus carried on, verse 21 of that seventh chapter. Jesus says there, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." So not everybody that calls on Jesus' name will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what's the word? Doeth. He that does Jesus' will, or the will of Jesus' Father, the Lord God, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We've done all these wonderful things in your name, but we haven't followed that right way. We've taught lies. Verse 23, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. From the pulpits of the churches today, throughout the length and breadth of the country, lies are taught. Now, we're not saying that every single thing they speak is untrue, but there are important fundamental teachings which are totally inaccurate. We've already mentioned their understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another one is of death itself. What happens to us when we die? It's a complete subject in its own right. And really, we shouldn't touch upon it this morning, so I'm not going to go into it at all. I've got half a dozen scriptures which I could quote to you straight away, where you could look at. But basically, you don't go to heaven when you die. You just go back into the grave. Turn back into the dust of the ground from when you were created, or when made. Those constituents in the ground are the constituents of men and women. And we just turn back into dust. But the hope is centred in the resurrection. That's where the hope is. Well, our advice to you is to test the teachings of the various sects or churches in our own day. In fact, test what we say. Check it against the scriptures. That's why we've given you quotations that are not our words. Check it against the scriptures. We feel that you should heed the advice again of the Apostle Paul when he commended certain believers in the city of Berea. This is page 1113. It's Acts chapter 17. And we're told there in the 10th verse, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. And regarding these people, it says, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So these people in Berea listened to what Paul and his companion Silas had to say, but didn't just take their word for it. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things that Paul was telling them and Silas was telling them was correct. They made sure. Why? because ultimately eternal life depends upon it. And eternal life is the gift of the God, gift of God. It's the gift of the God of the Bible, and it's his alone. And it's his to his faithful followers. It's up to each of us to find that straight and narrow way which leads to life. In fact, our time has rapidly gone, so we're going to finish, what better way to finish, with some words of Jesus himself. And they're both passages are taken from John's Gospel record. So the first one is John's Gospel record, chapter 3 and verse 16. And that is page 1066. Because it is God's intention that all should be saved, that all should gain everlasting life, to live forever in a glorious kingdom on this earth. But it's up to men and women to read the word of God for themselves and to understand and to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, therefore, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus says again, this time in the 15th chapter, it's page 1083. Jesus says there in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you, says Jesus. If ye seek that straight and narrow way that leads to life eternal. We must therefore read the scriptures for ourselves in order that we may learn what his commandments are, and distinguish between truth and error, and so receive everlasting life at the return of Jesus to the earth and the establishment of God's kingdom. Does it matter which church we attend? Yes, it certainly does. Thank you for your time.
Thanks then to John for explaining to us the importance of which church we attend, and not only that, but reading the Bible for ourselves. So with that in mind, perhaps next Sunday's talk will be of interest to you, why we can rely on New Testament scriptures, which will hopefully show us why we believe the Bible and why we believe it to be the true word of God. We'll conclude in prayer in a second. There will be refreshments in the back room. If you've got any questions, come and have a chat with John. Hopefully we'll be able to answer them for you. For those of us that are staying, please be back in your seats for 11:10 start for the breaking of bread, please. If you stand now, we'll close in prayer. Almighty God, we come to you in prayer again through your Son, the Lord Jesus, to thank you for preserving your word to our day and age, where we can read it for ourselves and understand it for ourselves and search out the true messages which are in it. Please help us to study your word. Help us to open it and understand it. And if we struggle, find somebody to help us with it. Father, please bless us and be with us until we meet again in your will. Hear our prayer now through Jesus. Amen. Thank you.